morning, church. Before we get into our word, take, we just have just another moment of prayer. Father God, Lord, as we come here today, Lord, we pray that this day, these words, our hearts, our actions, they would all go to glorify you. Lord, that you may be lifted up today, that we may hear a word from you today, Father God, that would touch our hearts, that would transform our minds, Father God, Lord, that will give refreshment to our souls and will give us the courage and the strength to continue to press forward in this great calling you've given us. And so, Lord, we look to you today and we thank you in advance for how you're going to show up and how your word is going to go out and produce much fruit. Anything that's inside of me that's not of you, ask that you would take it out, that only your words would come out. We state these things in Jesus' name as we say, amen. So good morning once again. As many of you know, we're going through the book of Psalms. We're going through the Psalms. My wife always tells me I need to be like very light in the beginning, or like to engage, just say hello. I'm not good at that. So we're gonna go right into, how you doing? We're looking at the hello. Good morning. So as you know, we're going through Psalms, and we are now what is called the Psalms is broken up into five books, and we're actually in book five at this point. And book five is very different from the other books. Book five is a lot more to do with just random things like economic creativity, business ethics. They talk about entrepreneurship in these Psalms. They talk about how to raise your children, how you should do, how to use your power, how power should be used, and the glory of God in and through the material world all emerge in these Psalms. Another thing about these Psalms is that we're coming from a lot of times from a point of lament, of the Israelites being sorry, of confessing their sins, of feeling disconnected from God. And as we get into like book four, going into book five, it starts to be a little bit more of hope, of they're getting back to what they were supposed to be doing, of excitement going in. And I don't know about you, but I need those Psalms. Miss Francis talked about it this morning, how she said, you know, when we look around our world, it seems like everything is horrible. And so we need things to help bring us hope again. Working in hospice, all you see a lot of times is death. And so you need kids to run around and to joy and to laugh, just to remind you that there is life still happening. Here in New Orleans, we have streets. And each and every day, as they're trying to rebuild the streets, I go outside and they might put a curb up and I get hope that one day these streets will be finished. And so in this book, in the fifth book, is this understanding of hope, this understanding of praise. You have lament. You start with lament more, but now you have more praise with some lament in it. And this is where we are today. And then inside of book five is another section called the Songs of Ascent. And so the Songs of Ascent are actually Psalms 120 through 134. And it says these Songs of Ascent are a special group of psalms comprising Psalms 120 through 124. They are also called pilgrim songs. The city of Jerusalem is situated on a high hill. Jews traveling to Jerusalem from one of the three main annual Jewish festivals traditionally sang these songs on the ascent or up the hill, up or the uphill road to the city. According to some traditions, the Jewish priests also sang these songs of ascent as they walked up the steps to the temple in Jerusalem. And so there's this understanding that these songs were what people would sing as they're coming to Jerusalem. as they're coming to the temple, as they're getting ready to worship and spend time in the temple, they're singing these songs of ascent, of ascending to the temple, of ascending to Jerusalem, to the hill, the city on the hill, to Jerusalem. I don't know if you remember, a few weeks ago, we looked at Psalm 84, and in that psalm, it said, "Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make a place, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion." And so that's what we're talking about. People who are on a pilgrimage, people who are on this journey to meet with God at the temple. This is their song. This is also the song for us as we go through this life. I'm sure we have a destination at the end, heaven, where we're looking forward to getting there. And so as we go through this world, as we go through this life, we need a song to sing to keep us motivated as we go through. You know, it made me think about the song, "I Don't Feel No Ways Tired. I've come too far from where I'm started from. No one told me the road would be easy. And I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me." And you can hear, and then it's a song that, I don't know about you, but it's a song that you can kind of march to. Like it gets, you know, it's like a rhythm that you start going and you start singing this song and you're able to continue to go through life unencumbered because you're singing, you're paying attention to the song instead of what's going on around you. I know runners, sometimes, I'm not a runner, obviously, but runners, when they run, they'll have music in their ears to encourage them as they go on. And that's what these songs of ascent are. It's the encouragement as you're going to the city, as you're going to the temple, you have these songs of encouragement. And so what we're going to look at today is Psalms 121. And many of us know this psalm. Just like others, it's about the understanding of the ascent, going to meet with God. And on our way to this new earth, we will see God's promise in the midst of these psalms. We're going to open up with Psalms 121. Verse 1 and 2 read, I lift my eyes to the hills. Go back up. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. I don't know about you, but I've heard this psalm many a times. I use this psalm many a times. And so when I used to read this psalm, I used to think one thing. I lift my eyes to the hills. From whence does my help come from? And so I'm thinking, you know, for me, I think in movies, I think in pictures. And so I would think of like a group getting beat up. Like, you know, like you're trying to make this last stand and you're getting beat up and you look to the hills, to the cavalry coming over the hills and coming to help you. You know, like Warren G, when he saw Nate in the cut, like he's looking, he's getting beat up, and he looked over, and his help was there. Some of you guys got that reference, some of you guys didn't, but it's okay. His help was there when he was at his worst, he looked over and he saw his help. The cavalry was coming. And I used to always think that, but then when you start to understand that this is a song about a pilgrimage. This is a song that you're supposed to sing as you're walking to somewhere. It brings a different understanding to what this is. Some people look at it and say, I lift my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? As an understanding that as you're walking and you see the hill of Jerusalem, you're lifting your eyes to where you're going. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. As I'm coming to the temple, I see the temple far off. I see the hill far off and encouraging me as I'm going. But you have other commentators who say it's not that. These people are coming from long distances. They can't even see Jerusalem yet. And so as they're walking through this time, as they're walking and they're trying to make their way to Jerusalem, they're going through different lanes. They're going through different places where other people have other idols. And if you look to the hills, you'll see other idols lifted up. You'll see other places that people built to worship their gods. And you look up and you says, I look to the hills, but where does my help come from? I see these idols up here, but where does my help come from? As I'm going through these land, where does my help come from? Their help comes from these other gods. My help comes from the Lord. Or they say, maybe as they were walking through, you know, the hills, as you're walking through these hills, you knew in those hills, you had some animals. You had some people with nefarious intentions looking to hurt you, looking to rob you, looking to do all these things. So as you look to the hills, trying to scan, figuring out what's going on, it reminds you, but my help doesn't come from these hills. My help comes from the Lord. In the midst of the scariest situations, my help comes from the Lord. When I don't know who's around me, when I don't know what's going on, when I see the other idols lifted up, when I see the other people doing their things, when my eyes get focused on what's going on around me, my help doesn't come from the land. My help doesn't come from this world. My help comes from the Lord. And he said one way to really understand this is if we actually understood how the psalm was written. And so the psalm is written, and these verses are written, what's called a chiasm. And so the idea is that the last three words of verse one are the first three words of verse two. And it's supposed to help you understand that there's a rhythm to the way we're supposed to read this, and you're also an understanding of how we're supposed to interpret these verses. And so the idea is, I lift my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. And so those two things tie in the first two. So it says, I lift my eyes to the hills, to the creation. Where does my help come? Whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord, the creator who made the heavens and earth, who created not just the earth, but the heavens. So when I look up and I see the hills, my help doesn't come from the people who made it. It don't come from this natural world. My help comes from the person who made this world, and not just this world, but also the heavens. One who's bigger than what I can see right now. That's where my help comes from. So as I'm walking through this time, as I'm walking and being disheartened by what's going on around me, I'm not looking for the world to make me happy. I'm not looking for these things, the things of the world to bring me joy or to bring me hope. My hope, my security, my everything is in the Lord who made those hills that seem scary to me right now, but he knows what's going on, and who also made the heavens who are above this world. God is your help no matter what you see. So be encouraged. Whether you are encouraged by seeing the temple, God is your help. Whether you are disheartened by seeing other idols or scared seeing the world, God is the maker of the heaven and the earth, and he is your help. And so the question comes in, who is he? This is where we continue to go. The Lord is the one who gives you the foundation to build and ability to stand firm. In verse 3, he says, he will not let your foot be moved. He will create a safe place for you. He will, in the midst of, as you're going through this journey and you feel like things are rocky and you're going down places that seem unsteady, he says, he will not let your foot be moved. He will give you a foundation that you can find security in. He will make that place that seems rocky, that seems scary, he will level it where you can stand up firm and not worry about falling off to the side, because if you follow him, you have a firm foundation. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 4, it says, the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are just. The God of faithfulness and without injustice, righteous and upright is he. He is the rock that you can find footing on. He's not mud. He doesn't fall away. He is the rock. In Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16, it says, therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, I am placing a foundation stone in Jerusalem, a firm and tested stone. Is a precious cornerstone that it is safe to build on. Whoever believes need never be shaken. He's talking about Christ coming. He said, not only am I, I'm bringing someone who's going to be that firm foundation for you as you go through this world. That place that you can find security in. You can find security in his truth, in who he says he is. He also says he gives us the ability to stand firm. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6, it says, be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Ephesians 6, 11 says, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. He's saying when he is with you, you can stand firm. Put on the full armor of God because his armor is what allows you to stand in the midst of whatever is going on around you. God, this God, the God who's going to be with you on the pilgrimage is saying he's going to make that land strong for you. And he's going to give you the strength to keep walking forward, to find strength in where you are, to not cower around what's going on around you. He will give you not only the truth to stand on, but the power to stand in that truth. That's who he is. As we continue to look, he says, the Lord is the one who is always awake and watching. Psalm 121, the end of verse 3 and verse 4, it says, he who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. He doesn't go to sleep. I don't know if you guys, so Mulan's one of my favorite Disney movies. And in Mulan, there's a part where the Mulan, she goes off and does something she's not supposed to. She leaves to go to war. And so then they have the understanding of ancient, their ancestors. And so they have this dragon called Mushu who has to go and wake up everybody to let them know what Mulan just did. So he's going around with the gong, waking everybody up. Wake up, wake up, wake up. And he says, our God don't have to be woken up. These other understandings, they have to wake them. You got to do different things so they can actually understand what's going on. This says our God doesn't sleep. He never slumbers. You don't have to wonder if he sees what you're doing right now. He does not sleep. He's promised to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He's promised to never leave you nor forsake you. He was with Elijah on that great day when he saw the prophets of Baal, and he said, maybe you need to wake him. Maybe he's indisposed, but my God is always ready. My God always sees. Who is your God? Your God is the one who never sleeps. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. Think about this. As these people were going on this pilgrimage, as they were walking through these different lands, they said it was hot. The sun was scorching. He said, he will be your shade. In the midst of the day, as you are walking through, he will give you comfort. At nighttime, when it's cold outside, he will bring you warmth. He will be your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day as you're walking through. Not even the sun or the moon or what's going on during those times will ever be able to harm you because he is with you. They said the sun by day, the moon by night. The moon by night was an understanding that you can get moonstruck. And we understand moonstruck in a different way than how they understood moonstruck in the past. We understood moonstruck as you're going to fall in love and all this kind of stuff. They understood moonstruck as at nighttime, evil happens. At nighttime, that's when it seems like sometimes these demons would possess people. At nighttime, that's when you could be moonstruck. He said, you won't have to worry about that at nighttime because your God, your keeper, is with you. And he says, he's the shade at your right hand. The understanding is, as your right hand is strength. Your right hand is your strength. So you talked about God's right hand. It's always his strength. He's saying, I will protect your strength in the midst of this journey. He protects Israel's strength in the midst. He will shade Israel's strength. He will protect their strength. They will continue to be strong as they go from strength to strength. He will give them the power to continue to be strong as they go through this journey. That's who the Lord is. The Lord is your keeper. The word shamar, it's masculine singular in the first part of this section. He will not let your foot be moved. Your keeper, this is how you could kind of read it. Your keeper will not slumber. Israel's keeper will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not strike you by day, nor the moon is at night. This is who he is. He is your keeper. He's the one who keeps, who tends, who takes care, who provides, who does all those things. That is who the Lord is. He is your keeper. Do you want to know who he is? He's your keeper. As you go through life, as you deal with the different circumstances, he's promised to be your keeper. But not only is he your keeper, that's who he is. But he's also, what will he do? The Lord will keep you. And so in these second ones, in 7 and 8, he actually used the third masculine singular imperfect form. These are things that I do not understand. I just write these things down when I read them. And it says, the Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your coming and going, your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Not only is he the keeper, but he's promised to keep you. And this is very interesting with this one too, because it's not promised just to keep you on your way to the temple, right? It's not just during the pilgrimage. It's not where you, it's not in the midst of what you're doing. He's going to keep you on your coming and your going. When you wake up, when you go to sleep, he has promised to keep you. And so far it was like, well, he's going to keep me on my way to church because I'm going to church. He's like, no, I'm going to keep you forever. It's not just based on where you're going. It's based on your reliance on him. He will keep you in your coming and you're going. They said this is why a lot of Jewish people, when they have a child being born, they put this up for the child. And when the child's room, they put this up in the child's room so they can see it all the time, because they're understanding that God's going to keep you wherever you are. He's going to keep you in his bosom. He's going to keep you in his strength. He is going to keep you. And this is another thing that I thought about when I read this. Miss Evelyn and I had a long time ago, about the understanding that we have here. We think about the destination, right? So we're going through this world and we can't wait to get to heaven. Just this morning, I think it said, Jesus is coming back. Come back, Jesus. I don't know what we were doing wrong, but we did something wrong. Can't wait for Jesus to come back. And I thought, we're going to talk about that today in church. We're all set for that destination. And he said, I'm going to be with you right now. I want to experience eternal life. You can experience eternal life right now with Jesus. Stop waiting for the future. You can experience it right now. He wants to keep you right now. He wants you to get a taste of what it's going to be like right now, to have that hope, that peace, that joy, that love. Right now, that is who he says. When you're going, as you're going through this world, you don't have to wait to the destination to experience his love. He wants to show you his love right now. You have to wait to the destination. Ooh. You have to wait to the destination to experience his strength. He wants to show you his strength right now. In the midst of the journey, he's going to build you up. So when you get there, you'll be already ready. You'll be singing these songs of ascent for when you get there, because you're already encouraged and excited and coming in singing. When you come into the church sanctuary, you're going to be singing your own songs coming up in here, ready to meet, already encouraged. He's saying, I'm not just there. I'm here along the journey with you. So stop just waiting for the end and enjoy his presence right now. He said he's going to keep you. And I feel like he keeps us in many different ways. He keeps us through his word. He gives us a firm foundation in his word of who he is. but he also keeps us in a special way in community. I know two weeks ago in our table group, Anthonika and Caitlin spoke about the understanding of the need for church, the need for people to be able to talk to each other and to encourage each other and to help each other along this journey that we're in. People who can come in and say one thing and encourage you. It's almost like having a caravan on this journey with you. People who are up at night sometimes watching, people who have your back, people who are all around you encouraging you on this journey. That's what this is supposed to be about. He has not just given you the word. He's supposed to give you a community so you can go through this world. You can go through this time. You can traverse this rocky life encouraged by one another. That's what he wants us to experience that now, to experience his keeping now. I'm not good at small talk. We talked about that in the beginning. I don't say, hey, how you doing? How's everything going? But I need to be more accessible. I need to be more, what's the right word, Anthonika? Available. I need to, I don't know all these different words that I don't know. That's why I don't ever say them. Because I need you. We need each other. God has spoken to each one of us. He wants us to encourage each other on this road. As he keeps us, he needs people to remind us that he's keeping us. So I encourage you today, stop worrying about the destination. Go up to that last one, Dale, and stop worrying about the destination. Stop waiting on death to experience life. God, your keeper, wants to show you love, strength, and victory right now in the midst of your journey. Let us pray. Father God, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you are our keeper. That's your attribute, that's your characteristic, that's who you are. You are the keeper, Lord, and you've promised to keep us. And so, Lord, we ask that each and every day that you would put on our minds, Lord, the things that you have written down, that you would make us fall in love with your word, that we may grow that much more, that you would allow us to fall in love with each other, Father God, that as we go through this life, as we go through this time here on earth, Father God, that we won't just be anticipating the end, Father God, but we will enjoy the present because you are with us in the present. Lord, we ask that you would mold our hearts together unto you, Lord, that we can be those who, while we're on this pilgrimage, can sing a song that brings life to each other. And that changes this world. And so, Lord, we love you. We thank you. We state these things in Jesus' name, as we all say, amen.